is actually, apart from liking it, is actually the higher experience, higher than Shakespeare. All right, let's see the vote for Shakespeare again. How many think Shakespeare is higher? All right. So why is it?
10 o'clock here at WREV. We got a little more left, but I want to kind of also, we got public service announcement, but also a commentary. So it may be another framework of which you could probably view the question that he's putting here. How to judge what's a higher or lower value? You could almost say is pulling back to early episodes, we were talking about Wittgenstein. It's definitely a Wittgenstein type of question. Something we, like I said, we covered in earlier episodes. You can go to Professor Segru's lecture on YouTube if you want to revisit that that segment. It's a very hard concept to define precisely with fuzzy boundaries. So you have to be careful and use deliberate language to describe what qualifies something as quote unquote high value, or you could illustrate it with examples like Wittgenstein used. It's a question like, what exactly is a chair, and where does the boundary between a chair and something else really exist? So we'll get right back into this. I'll play you a quick public service announcement, and we've got another 11 minutes left on this, and also have a little more commentary about it. So number here is 656-4399. If you have any questions or comments, this is Radio Lyceum. My name is James. You can also reach out to Radio Lyceum at protonmail.com if you want to reach out to me that way, or the chat at wruv.org. So let's play the public service announcement to meet our requirements, and then get right back into the very end of Justice by David Sunnell.
Did you know that expressing yourself in creative ways can help to relieve stress and anxiety? It has also been shown to help lower levels of anger and depression after a traumatic event. People often shy away from any kind of artistic or creative expression because they don't consider themselves to be quote-unquote good, but you do not need to be good at something for it to matter or have value. If you enjoy it, do it regardless. The DJs at WRUV recognize the importance of expressing yourself creatively and encourage you to show yourself love through creation.
Ideally, I'd like to hear from someone. Is there someone who thinks Shakespeare is highest, but who preferred watching The Simpsons? Yes.
Like, I guess just sitting watching The Simpsons, it's entertaining because they make jokes and they make us laugh, but like, someone has to tell us that Shakespeare was this great writer. We had to be taught how to read him, how to understand him. We had to be taught how to kind of take in Rembrandt, how to analyze a painting.
Well, what's your name?
Anisha.
Anisha, when you say someone told you that Shakespeare is better,
right,
are you accepting it on blind faith? You voted that Shakespeare is higher only because the culture tells you that or teachers tell you that? Or do you actually agree with that yourself?
Well, in the sense of Shakespeare, no, but earlier you made an example of Rembrandt. I feel like I would enjoy reading a comic book more than I would enjoy kind of analyzing Rembrandt because someone told me it was great, you know?
Right. So some of this seems to be, you're suggesting, a kind of cultural convention and pressure. We're told what books, what works of art are great. Who else? Yes.
Although I enjoyed watching The Simpsons more in this particular moment in Justice, if I were to spend the rest of my life considering the three different video clips shown, I would not want to spend that remainder of my life considering the latter two clips. I think I would derive more pleasure from being able to branch out in my own mind, sort of considering more deep pleasures, more deep thoughts.
And tell me your name.
Joe.
Joe. So if you had to spend the rest of your life on a farm in Kansas with only Shakespeare or the collected episodes of The Simpsons, you would prefer Shakespeare? What do you conclude from that about John Stuart Mill's test that the test of a higher pleasure is whether people who have experienced both prefer it.
Can I cite another example briefly?
Yeah.
In biology, neurobiology last year, we were told of a rat who was tested a particular center in the brain where the rat was able to stimulate its brain and cause itself intense pleasure repeatedly. The rat did not eat or drink until it died. So the rat was clearly experiencing intense pleasure. Now, if you ask me right now if I'd rather experience intense pleasure or have a full lifetime of higher pleasure, I would consider intense pleasure to be low pleasure. I would right now enjoy intense pleasure. But, yes, I would. I certainly would. But over a lifetime, I would think almost a complete majority here would agree that they would rather be a human with higher pleasure than be that rat with intense pleasure for a momentary period of time.
So,
now, in answer to your question,
right.
I think this proves that, or I won't say proves, I think the conclusion is that Mill's theory that when a majority of people are asked what they would rather do, they will answer that they would rather engage in a higher pleasure.
So you think that this supports Mill? You think Mill is onto something here?
I do.
All right. Is there anyone who disagrees with Joe and who thinks that our experiment disproves Mill's test, shows that that's not an adequate way, that you can't distinguish higher pleasures within the utilitarian framework? Yes?
If whatever is good is truly just whatever people prefer, it's truly relative and there's no objective definition, then there will be some society where people prefer Simpsons more. Anyone can appreciate The Simpsons, but I think it does take education to appreciate Shakespeare as much.
All right, you're saying it takes education to appreciate higher things. Mill's point is that the higher pleasures do require cultivation and appreciation and education. He doesn't dispute that. But once having been cultivated and educated, people will see not only see the difference between higher and lower pleasures, but will actually prefer the higher to the lower. You find this famous passage from John Stuart Mill: it is better to be a human being dissatisfied than a pig satisfied. Better to be Socrates dissatisfied than a fool satisfied. And if the fool or the pig are of a different opinion, it is because they only know their side of the question. So here you have an attempt to distinguish higher from lower pleasures. So going to an art museum or being a couch potato and swilling beer watching television at home. Sometimes, Mill agrees, we might succumb to the temptation to do the latter, to be couch potatoes. But even when we do that out of indolence and sloth, we know that the pleasure we get gazing at Rembrandts in the museum is actually higher.
So my own personal definition, so maybe define more clear what higher means or what it could mean. Feel free to call on your own definition if you want. My definition is something that promotes growth, meaning, and or purpose in one's life, whether understanding yourself or how you work or how you relate to others or how you might interact with other people. It's often an insight you might never ever form on your own. And I'm not really sure requiring education to appreciate the higher pleasures is a good yardstick, in my opinion. We need education to understand Shakespeare because of the cultural and linguistic distance from today's language and its cultural context in which it lived in, and all the things that they were mentioning, like Rembrandt. So in Shakespeare's town, however, even the least educated people appreciated his work, and for some experiences you might need, so on the other side, some experiences you might need prior knowledge to understand the language game to use a Vic Stein term, or to grasp what the artist or writer is trying to convey. It could also be that the concept we're communicating is so complex that it can't fully be understood in one sitting. And one reason something that might be labeled as quote-unquote high could be because it offers some opportunity to be revisited again and again, allowing for deeper understanding each time. Often, the act of decoding the puzzle itself becomes a higher value of the media. It's not just about, wow, that explosion was fun, like seeing an action movie. It's about, why did that explosion happen? Why did that person act that way? It's exercising your brain in a way that can give you insight into yourself and others. Just like lifting weights or running makes your body more effective, exercising your brain to solve social situations or other things so you can understand the inner workings that can make your mind more effective in solving real life issues. So I would say that's at least my understanding of like how you might draw a dividing line between higher and lower pleasures. And like with anything, we're talking about morality, we're talking about a chair, we're talking about where life exists. You can't really, if you're trying to define hard lines about where things are or not, especially with such muddy terms as high or low pleasures, it could also, the best way to do it is through examples, so sometimes it's not clear. But it doesn't mean that chairs don't exist. It doesn't mean that life doesn't exist. It's just going to be difficult in the language that we're using to define it. So we have another 4:50 left. We're going to let this play out, and then I'm done. I might play some music at the end. DJ Not 10 might be here. But as always, this is James. We've been listening to Radio Lyceum. We're finished up. We got 4.5 minutes left of this. So keep on listening. You're better alternative to WRUV.
Because we've experienced both. And it is a higher pleasure gazing at Rembrandt because it engages our higher human faculties. What about Mill's attempt to reply to the objection about individual rights? In a way, he uses the same kind of argument. And this comes out in chapter 5. He says, I dispute the pretensions of any theory which sets up an imaginary standard of justice not grounded on utility, but still, he considers justice grounded on utility to be what he calls the chief part and incomparably the most sacred and binding part of all morality. So justice is higher. Individual rights are privileged, but not for reasons that depart from utilitarian assumptions. Justice is a name for certain moral requirements, which regarded collectively stand higher in the scale of social utility and are therefore of more paramount obligation than any others. So justice is sacred, it's prior, it's privileged, it isn't something that can easily be traded off against lesser things. But the reason is ultimately, Mill claims, a utilitarian reason once you consider the long-run interests of humankind, of all of us, as progressive beings. If we do justice, and if we respect rights, society as a whole will be better off in the long run. Well, is that convincing? Or is Mill actually, without admitting it, stepping outside utilitarian considerations in arguing for qualitatively higher pleasures and for sacred or specially important individual rights? We haven't fully answered that question, because to answer that question in the case of rights and justice will require that we explore other ways, non-utilitarian ways of accounting for the basis of rights, and then asking whether they succeed. As for Jeremy Bentham, who launched utilitarianism as a doctrine in moral and legal philosophy, Bentham died in 1832 at the age of 85. But if you go to London, you can visit him today, literally. He provided in his will that his body be preserved, embalmed, and displayed in the University of London, where he still presides in a glass case with a wax head, dressed in his actual clothing. You see, before he died, Bentham addressed himself to a question consistent with his philosophy. Of what use could a dead man be to the living? One use, he said, would be to make one's corpse available to the study of anatomy. In the case of great philosophers, however, better yet, to preserve one's physical presence in order to inspire future generations of thinkers. You want to see what Bentham looks like? Stuffed? Here's what he looks like. There he is. Now, if you look closely, you will notice that the embalming of his actual head was not a success. So they substituted a waxed head, and at the bottom, for verisimilitude, you can actually see his actual head on a plate. You see it? Right there. So, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story, by the way, they bring him out during meetings of the board at University College London, and the minutes record him as present but not voting. Here is a philosopher in life and in death who adhered to the principles of his philosophy.
So that's the end. This is a series called Justice by Michael Sandel. I'm a big fan of his work. He's written books called Justice, after the series, The Tyranny of Merit, What Money Can Buy. Highly recommended his books. Definitely one of the, I would consider one of the best political philosophers of our day. And it's very interesting talks, and you'll see him pop up on, he does interviews, and I think I know he has a TED talk, which is very interesting. So it aligns with the name of my show, Radio Lyceum, and one of the goals that I want to have is one of them is talking about socialization and promoting socialization, and something that's continually being it's dropping a lot in modern society, where everyone's either on their phone or talking through the internet, and sometimes that's good with allied means of communication. With young men, it's often speculated that it's not very helpful form of communication. Face-to-face is usually better. And another part is I'm trying to promote public debate in a respectful way, in a communicative or a relationship kind of way, where we can discuss certain things like morality, which seems like something that people can't talk about if you don't have a basis or like of where your political ideas come from, or even where your ideas in life are coming from. If you don't have that base which you can communicate, most people just kind of talk past each other because they're talking about the issues that lay on top of the base morality that we're just kind of skimming past each other. And I think if more people had more discussions about the basis of why they think we should have certain policies or don't have certain policies based, it's the basis of all these questions is basically morality. Cost-benefit analysis is a moral question. Talking about what's right and wrong, or why we should have certain funding or don't have certain funding, is a moral question in its base. So if having those discussions, I think, in its And saying that don't exist, I think, is also dangerous. Saying that, in my opinion, that saying that, well, morality is just relative. There is real no moral standard that we can all agree on, so therefore there is no morality. Leaves us to trying, kind of untethered in our discussions we're trying to have with people. So that's my general view. And like I said, Ray Lyceum, I think Michael Sandel, and how he approaches discussions with active discussions with the people, not just lecturing people, is having other people respond back, like the Lyceum, which is kind of like why I picked the name of the show. The other reason is because of Henry David Thoreau, one of the books I was reading, and they were talking about the Lyceum. I was like, well, that's a cool idea. So, and of course, this is radio. I'm just talking at you guys. So I would encourage more people to go out there and have one-on-one discussions, or even setting up public debates where you have people discuss things, not necessarily combatively, because I don't think it's just someone peeking. It's like, oh, I'm Eagles fan. Oh, I'm a Kansas City fan. If you pick a side of debate, and you just pick your side, there's no real growth that happens between that. So having a respectful conversation where people kind of listen to other people's with curiosity, like Jonathan Haidt was saying, just listening, being curious about the other people's opinion and talking with them about it is a very important step in trying to get your ideas across both ways. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We'll play some music a little bit while I'm wrapping up. I'll be back next week. I'll probably continue on with the theme of justice. It's 12 parts, people. 12 parts. I've been cutting out some excerpts and making some commentary in between to give you some context. Some of it's pretty complex, and I might give some explanations about some lectures about what he's talking about, which requires some thought on my part, too, because listening to some of his layer topics, talking about Kant, a very complex moral theory, and some stuff I even try to struggle with, like what he's talking about. So, with that in mind, let's get off the mic. I've been telling you we're going to play some music, so let's do that. I'll see you guys next week. This has been James, Radio Lyceum. I'm also looking for guests. If you want to come in and talk about a community organization you have that circles around like a group of people or volunteers that socialize, or if you want to just promote your nonprofit group. I'm trying to keep it non-political because to reach out to the widest group of people. But that's not set in stone. Obviously, you probably already know what my political leanings are just because I'm on WRUV and it's the things I'm talking about. But I think it's, like I said, whenever I had discussions with people, like other coworkers or friends about certain things, just saying like, okay, this is what team I'm on, and now let's have a discussion. They're like, oh, you're on the Eagles team. I don't like that football team. Can often degrade the quality of conversation. So we can get to the truth, which is what we're all trying to do here, trying to make a better society. Okay. And ramble. Let's play some music. Yay. See you guys next week.
Thank you.
Right, listening to WRV FM Burlington. This is James Alter Ego, not Ted. This is the end. I'm going to be wrapping up my stuff. I'll see you guys next week. Keep it real out there.